Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, running around ragged on hump day. It's Wednesday. It's that time again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. It's the Moving the Chains podcast. Yeah, you're probably saying, where's the music and everything? Well, you know, we're here, and you got to work with what you got, and we're working with what we got. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink. When God created women, the world was complete. Danielle Arsino in Charlotte, North Carolina for another month, and then on to New York. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, I realize 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered down by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic to Threes, Danielle. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, the NFL news keeps getting, man, whether it's kickoffs or the Steelers signing a kickoff returner.
It's been crazy out there, Mark. Everybody's can get a hold of me at Birth of the Fae on Instagram. But yeah, there's just so much to get into. It's like, we don't need music. There's just, we just got to jump right into things because the NFL owners had their meetings in Orlando and they decided to make some rule changes. So as everybody knows, the hip drop tackle is now illegal. That's gone. They've decided to move up or move back the trade deadline. So now instead of being the Tuesday after the week 8 games, it's now the Tuesday after the week 9 games. Now, the thing is with that is that some people said, oh, great, now we're accommodating the longer schedule. Others are saying, yeah, this is telling us that an 18-week season is really around the corner. So some people are like, yeah, great, you caught up to the whole 17-week game schedule, but other people are going, no. This is prepping us for the 18-week schedule, which has been floated around for a while. And the Players Union made, the Players Association made a comment about it, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, that the discussion wasn't off the table. And that upset a lot of players, particularly somebody on the Giants who made a comment saying, if you want me to play an 18-week season, where is my cut of the sports betting money? Because the only reason we're even getting into this discussion is because of FanDuel, DraftKings, and all of that. And as it expands into other states, that's the reason they're going to make us play more, is because now they're making money off of it. So if you want me to play more, give me my cut, which I thought was a very interesting concept, and I kind of liked the fact that they were talking back about it a little bit, and I do tend to agree. But I think sports betting, everybody knows my feeling on it, so we're not going to go there. But the other big rule change was the kickoff. I could try to explain this to you guys, but it's really better if you go and look at the diagrams that they've put up, because explaining this and seeing it are two very different things. It is a hybrid of the XFL rule, and then they, of course, had to put their twist on it because, God forbid, they say, yeah, we got it from the XFL. We've been watching them. No, it has to. They had to, like, change it a little bit. The bottom line is traditional kickoffs are no more. There are no fair catches anymore. It's all about safety, safety, safety. Okay, you can say it's about safety, but it's really because, let's face it, it was boring this year. The experiment did not go well, and it was boring. You know, Devin Hester is no more. You know, he got into the Hall of Fame. That's great, and we have not seen another electric player like that running kickoffs back. So this is to kind of bring that excitement back. But now, the receiving team can have two guys that could possibly run it back. Everybody's got to line up, on this side, and the kicker's by himself. It's a whole thing. What I can tell you to do, the best thing you can do, is go and check out The Atlantic and The Washington Post. They did two great articles breaking it down, and they have these great diagrams that show you exactly where everybody's going to set up. But there's now a kickoff start line, a setup zone, and a landing zone, if you can follow me on that. Because even I, when they explained it, I was going, huh, what do you want me to do? And a lot of the officials have even said, just watch it. If you watch the XFL, you understand. If you don't watch the XFL, say watch this, I think it's this Saturday, because now it's the USL, I think is their name. Watch this Saturday's kickoff game. And you'll get a feel for what the kickoff is going to look like. There's a little, the NFL tweaked it a little bit, but it's the same exact setup, the same formation. Watch that. You'll totally get a feel for it. But those were the big things that came out of the owner's meeting this week at in Orlando, Mark. So you let me know what you feel about the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, I don't care for it. They're just trying to, you know, save injuries and all that stuff. They're trying to, you know, it's almost like a guy getting caught stealing, and then as he's going out the door, he turns around and says, well, I was just about ready to pay it. I had the money in the car, and I was coming right back in. Yeah, right. Okay, I believe that. They're just trying to protect their own ass because they know what's going on. You know, people, the lawsuits are going to come to the forefront here and everything. And they're trying to stand there and say, well, we're doing safety things now. We're protecting our players and everything. This is what we're doing. So we don't have no contact like that. We don't need flag football. We don't need that no more. But you've been doing that for quite a while in the Pro Bowls. Yeah.
I think it's just boring.
Exactly.
I really don't even think it had anything to do with safety. I just think they were like, oh, this didn't work. It's boring. Let's do something else. I think they're saying it's about safety.
Well,
I think that's just
let me tell you something, Danielle. Talking about doing something else, what the hell are the Panthers doing? Now they've reached a deal with Clowney. I mean, what is going on here?
I wish I could answer these questions. I'm hearing so many things down here that it's like you went and you got Bryce Young. They still haven't done anything to help him out.
No.
Now you're building, the defense, which, that's good. But to me, it's kind of similar to the Giants in a way. Like, they're all talking about, everybody's like, oh, we're going to draft Malik. And then, same thing with the Panthers. You've got Young, and it's like you've got a race car but no driver. And in this case, they've got the driver, but they don't have any wide receivers, so they don't have the car. It's like, build up the defense, cool. What else are you doing? I don't understand this. I don't think this is another example. We've talked about it before. Kappus is just a disaster for the Panthers. He just is. He's way too involved, and he's not. He's a hedge fund guy, and he's making decisions. I get that the NFL is a business. Totally agree with that statement. But at some point, you kind of have to bring in the football minds to help make these decisions. You can't run it like a bank. It doesn't work. You can't run it like a hedge fund. You can't run it like a financial group. That doesn't work. You have to bring in the right people to make the decisions, and you have to step out of it. You bought the Panthers. That's wonderful. Good for you. Golf clap. But step out of it. I don't know. Jadeveon Clowney, look, he had 9.5 sacks with the Ravens. You got rid of Brian Burns. I understand you have to do something. But what are you doing? One, to protect Bryce Young because he was sacked constantly. You still haven't fixed the O-line. You got rid of DJ Moore. You don't really have anybody. You have no weapons for this kid. Where is his development? I'm not seeing it. I haven't heard of you even doing anything to bring somebody in for it. So I don't know what the Panthers are doing. I can't answer that question.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable
in more ways than one, when you look at it. But I love what the Steelers have done. I mean, they've gone out and kind of cleaned house with three quarterbacks, brought in two. They got a nice pass rusher, man. They've loaded up with a kick returner. I mean, I like it.
I think the Steelers to me were the team that actually I felt like looked in the mirror and got real with themselves. We're like, okay, yes, we got this far, but did we really deserve to have that record? Let's sit back, and I feel like they really kind of actually did the self-reflection that a lot of teams don't do, and was like, all
right,
we need this, we need that, they kind of did it right. So I appreciate everything the Steelers did. And it's going to come down to if it gels. But I think they did their homework. So right now I'm kind of excited for the Steelers. Let's see if Wilson pays off.
That's the thing. When you really look at it, I think the Steelers knew what they had to do. I think the thing that's really confusing to me is Keenan Allen He went from the best year of his career to blindsided by a trade and to the Bears. I mean, that caught me off guard. I don't know about you.
I didn't expect Keenan Allen to go to the Bears. There were other teams that I thought he would have fit better with schematically, but I don't know what the Bears are doing. I really don't. And the fact that Jaden Daniels is visiting with the Bears, the Bears did not go to his pro day today, but he is visiting with them. So that tells me you're not as sold as everybody thinks you are on Caleb. Because if you were that sold on him, you know, so you're having some questions a little bit, you know. But they didn't go to Jaden Daniels pro day today. So I'm not sure. Now they have DJ Moore, you know, but I'm not sure what else they've got going on there. I really don't know the identity yet.
Yeah. Of the band. Let me bring in Joey from Bucks County, PA, local listener to this great show that we keep picking up. He says, guys, I love your show. I follow you all the time, whether it's in the morning or at night. So the big surprise to me is, he says, is the all-pro cornerback Tre'Davious White going with the Rams. What are the Bills doing?
Yes.
The Bills are kind of imploding here. And this is a Ram team that really has not rebuilt but retooled in some ways. He's right, Joey from Bucks County. I couldn't believe that either.
I agree.
Leaving the Bills to go to the Rams. Yeah.
The Bills were very concerned with Davis's injuries. That was a big concern weighing over their head with him. And I think if he can stay healthy, I think he can do something with the Rams. The thing that I've started to notice about the Rams, and I don't know if you feel this way, Mark, but that everybody has kind of given up on a little bit, and they seem to inject something new into them. They did it with Odell. They've done it with other players, where just as everybody's like, yeah, this is the twilight, they come in and they can do something with them. So I'm interested to see what happens. If Jadavius can stay, if Smith can stay healthy, I think he can do a lot because it is a very young cornerback team. You know, they've got some really young players. So I think having a veteran like that in the room could really be good for them. But we kind of have to see where it goes. But I think it was a smart move. And I think they are retooling. They're figuring out, especially with Aaron Donald being gone now, that they need to now identify differently. Because before you had Aaron Donald. And it was like, you didn't want to go up against them specifically for Aaron Donald. It almost didn't matter who was under center. You were just kind of like, oh, I got to deal with Donald. Like that was kind of your thing. And now you don't have that intimidation factor. So what are you going to do? And that's where they're pivoting. It's a smart move. You know, that's great. They're another team that I think kind of started to do the homework a little bit and figure it out. So, you know, more power to them. What I don't know is going on. I have no idea what the Cowboys are doing. They are sending Dak Prescott a big message that you are not our guy. And that's something that I think is very dangerous right now because he will test the free agency market next year. And I think he will play a great season, as he always does. He will be consistent. I mean, let's not forget, he was voted, you know, he was only second to Lamar for MVP this year. He was, you know, number two overall in the NFL quarterback-wise for completions, touchdowns. Like, he was up there. He had a great year. At the end of the day, they just can't finish. Is it all on Dak? No. But he is carrying the team to a point. He couldn't get it done. That's how they're going to look at it. That's how Jerry's looking at it right now. They've got to restructure the contract. I think next year the cap space is smaller for them. They're not going to get that $30 million bump up that we got this year in cap space. So they have some thinking to do, but they're not doing anything. And Jerry's comments were very, like, innocuous, and he kind of didn't want to commit. Dak's going to test the free agency market next year, and they could find him going, you know, playing for another team. What are you going to do? He's broken enough records. He's broken Aikman's records. I don't know what the Cowboys are doing. They did nothing during free agency. They're losing five of their starters. So if you couldn't do it with your most jacked team in years and your most stacked team, You're losing five of your guys. What are you going to do this year? You don't have Tony Pollard.
Well, and getting back to what Joey was saying about, you know, Tre'Davious White there, I think the Rams, ever since they lost the wild card, they're trying to shore up, man. They're trying to, you know, let's face it, that division to me is a division that it pretty much, let's face it, the 49ers can slip a little. We've seen the 49ers slip after Super Bowl losses. So the 49ers can come back to the pack. We don't know what we're getting with them.
Right.
But who's to say the Rams can't win this division with, you know, Arizona trying to figure themselves out, you know, and Seattle trying to go through a period where they're trying to figure out what they're doing as well. So I kind of like the Rams, and Sean McVay's there, so, you know, he can battle wits with the 49ers. I know the 49ers have had their number for a few years, but still, I don't see why the Rams can't. I mean, the NFC is wide open, let's face it. And I know the Redskins have gotten tougher. The Cowboys, you alluded to, have done nothing. The Eagles have done something. The Lions will be there. The Vikings have set themselves back. And then you got a division in the South where I think it's going to be Atlanta and Tampa and New Orleans. You know, see, you know, you got, you know, those teams. But I got to give Atlanta the nod because Atlanta's been like Pittsburgh and Washington. They've loaded up. Those three teams
Atlanta,
have loaded up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Atlanta in the South. It's going to be for Atlanta, I mean, with Bijan and now Cousins, it's going to be that chemistry. We have to see how that goes. But I think Atlanta overall was just missing the quarterback. We said that. You know, we said Ridder was not the guy. And if they could just get a quarterback in there, Atlanta was the power player. They've done it now. Now, whether, you know, Cousins, you just get two seasons out of him, I don't know. But I think Atlanta is the most packed and stacked, really, to do it. You know, Tampa Bay is still missing a couple pieces. Yes, they've got Mayfield, but there's still a couple key things they've got to nail down the run game just a little bit better. There's some pieces that still aren't there quite yet. I think the O-line, you got to shore up that left side just a little bit more. You know, and I think more could be done there. But, you know, the Saints, you know, Carr is not the guy. We know that. Just that's not it. We still don't know what the wide receiver situation is there. Michael Thomas is out. You know, there's other things that I think the Saints are going to take a little longer. The Lions will do what they need to do. I think we'll still see the Lions being competitive. The Vikings, I have no idea what they're doing anymore. There's talk that they're going to trade up. They're going to trade possibly with Arizona to get their quarterback. I don't know. You know, I'm still looking at them going, you know, you haven't given your star wide receiver a contract yet. And he put the team on his back. So figure it out. And the coach just doesn't seem to have patience with quarterbacks. You let Cousins win.
Right.
And, you know, you really should have kept him and then traded up for a quarterback and let him be the veteran, you know, and kind of let the kid hold the clipboard like we've been saying. And you didn't do that. So I'm not sure what they're really going to do there. The Eagles, look, I lost Saquon, you know, but once again, I'm not mad about it. But you got to get a center now. You know, whoever was backing up Kelsey, can he do what he did? There's still some pieces missing. So we have to see how Jalen can really handle that team. I think the Commanders are going to be – it depends on who they pick up. Look, Caleb Williams, there's nobody there. I mean, is Jacoby Brissett really the one that you want mentoring Caleb Williams? You know, or I'm sorry, Jacoby actually went to the Pats. Who is the backup now for the Commanders? I don't even know. Like, who did they pick up to
question.
Be a veteran? You know, because whoever it is going to have to mentor Caleb Williams. If you think you're throwing Caleb Williams in, first game, rookie in, then you're making the same mistake you made with RG3. And we're back to the beginning. You've learned nothing from this.
Right.
Because regardless of what everybody says about the Giants and this and that, you can't, looking at the Cowboys, looking at the Eagles, and just the pass rush of those two. And the Giants with the pickup of Burns, people have already said, between Dexter, Burns, all of that, you are going to have a serious pass rush. You cannot put Caleb Williams and be like, he'll be fine. This is a great idea. You're not, you know, or whoever you get, whether it's Williams, whether it's Jaden Daniels, and they're talking about possibly taking Drake May instead.
Right.
Drake May does not have the footwork, and he's not a scrambler. He's a strict pocket passer. You put him in, come on. Poor kid's going to get smashed.
Oh, yeah.
So if
no doubt about it. And
take Daniels and you get Caleb Williams, you really gonna put that kid out there and not have him sit behind somebody?
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
The Eagles are gonna be licking their chops, and so are the Cowboys. I don't think it's a smart move. So I don't know what the Commanders are really gonna do. They're loading up on defense, which is great. Dan is a defensive guy. I don't know. So I gotta look at all of them and say some of the stuff you've done is really smart. But at the end of the day, a quarterback is still driving the bus. And if you put a rookie in, they got to hold the clipboard. Like, we've talked about this a million times.
Yeah, we've seen what happened in Green Bay when they hold a clipboard. You know, they end up taking your team further in the playoffs.
And that's what works. As for the Giants, you know, they were at Jaden Daniels Pro Day, but a lot of people said they were there for Malik. They were not there for Daniels. Daniels is meeting with them. Malik had dinner with the Giants even before Pro Day.
Right.
So they feel that they're taking Malik. I think he's a phenomenal wide receiver. And let's face it, LSU just puts out great receivers. They just do. That's what they do. But I go back to the same analogy. That's wonderful you get the Corvette. But if you don't have a license, it's just going to sit there. And that's what I'm looking at the Giants saying. You go and you get this high-powered, phenomenal wide receiver. Who's throwing the ball? And if you don't have an O-line to protect the quarterback to throw the ball, this kid's just going to sit there and run down the field and just wave his hands. It doesn't help us. So
I will tell you, we're down about 7 minutes and change, I think the Skins are going to do something to get Caleb Williams. I know the Bears are sitting there at number one. But this thing reminds me of, you know, a lot of things. Eli Manning not wanting to go to San Diego.
Yep.
John Elway not wanting to go to the Colts. Playing baseball with the Yankees and then going to Denver. So it kind of, you know, I've seen this thing play out. And the Bears can stand there and say whatever the hell they want. But if you got a guy that doesn't want to have no part of your team or your city, you have no choice. And I know you got the number one pick, but you have no choice. You really don't have a choice. Because he'll sit out. He'll probably re-enter the draft or whatever if he wants to go that route. You know, or he'll just sit out till you trade him. And, you know, he's got the upper hand. I don't care what anybody says. A team that has a number one pick, if they don't want to play in your city, you can stand there and do whatever you want to force that guy's hand. But it just leaves a bad taste. And you have the option, not so much him, but you have the option to say, let me grant this guy his wish. Let me get him over to Washington. That's his hometown team. He wants to go there. Because if you draft him, he didn't want to go there, it's going to be a negative cloud hanging over your franchise. And I'm telling you that right now. So the Bears better wake up and realize that you've had a lot of guys come in your town. You can stand there and say you've been in the league for this many years and all that. That's all fine, well, and dandy. But if a guy doesn't want to go to your city for I don't know what reason, other than you're a losing franchise for so many years, then if he wants to go to the team that's drafting second, I would do whatever it takes to get him over there and get maybe a boatload of prospects coming my way. But I think he's going to the Redskins.
Yeah.
They're going to do something to get him, and the Bears know it. They're not going to win with him. He doesn't want to be there, and it's kind of like a guy on a job. You know, he comes in, he sits down in your office and tells you he wants a raise. You go, not now. He comes back a few months later. You go, not now. The third time, he's going to go find another job, and then the next time he sits in your office, he's going to tell you he got another job, and you're going to go there. Well, I could have gave you this and that. You know, I gave you two chances before that. Third chance, I went out and found another gig. So that's the problem in Chicago, and it's the Bears are idiots.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Bottom line.
Go with someone else. He's made it clear. Look, Jaden Daniels is phenomenal. You know, I mean, there's other – it's this quarterback class is great. You're going to – it's a good pick either way, but take the guy who wants to be there. You know, go with the girl who wants to dance with you.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's how I
go with the person that's going to always stick with you, and that's why you and I are joined at the hip on that. You know, you've been in my corner. We always work together, and you know what? They can offer a lot of money, but everything – I'm going to the dance that the same girl was there when I didn't have nothing either. And that's how you do it. And that's basically it. But, you know, you said something a long time ago, loyalty goes far. Loyalty is very, very important in anything you do. And that's the problem in today's society. You know, it's a money-driven thing, and people chase the money, and then they realize what the hell happened here. Case in point, and now we're going to change sports on this one, but Shohei Ohtani, his agent, all of a sudden you didn't know where $4.5 million went. Come on, you sold your friend down the river, and that guy was he was looking out for you. And to me, there's a problem here now with Shohei Ohtani, but that's a story for another day on another show. But as we get ready to wrap this up, tell us, I know at the top of the hour you got your show, The Novel Beginning with Chelsea Rice, and what's in the works for any more traveling?
No, I'm not traveling for a little while, but yes, there are some other things coming up. And there's a little – I have a little nugget for you, Mark, that I'd like to think we have something to do with this. I cannot confirm it. But as we all know, Saquon and Tiki have been going back and forth. They've got a little feud going over his trade. So he's gone on several, you know, news shows and whatever talking about their fight. But he did make a comment on one that I thought was interesting, and I think we had something to do with it. I'm going to hold that. Where he was saying, you know – Tiki's in media right now, and he should really be explaining the business side instead of, like, going back and forth. So paraphrasing all of this, but they went back and forth, and he said, other small podcasts get it, and they understand that maybe this was a mercy save for the Giants to let me go. And I stopped and thought, well, wait a minute, we said mercy killing. And I don't know of any other smaller podcast that got it. And he went on to say, he's like, how come they understand and you don't? And I'm telling you,
somebody's listening, baby.
I'm going to stick by that.
Yeah. Somebody's listening. And, you know, I will tell you, man, it's amazing. One time I had a guy listen to a show. I told him, get on the show. He said, I can't, but I listen to you all the time. I'm a Secret Service agent. And I thought, man, you never know who's listening, but – as we wind this thing down, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I can't wait to reconvene next week at the top of the hour producing that great show that you guys do, The Novel Beginning.
I'm very excited. So everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at BirthsOfFay. Slide into the DMs. Let me know what you think, how you think the draft should go, because at this point I have no idea what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a crazy draft. And let me know what's going on, what your idea is for this new kickoff rule. Once again, I'm confused by all of it. And, yes, at 8 o'clock, I will be here with Chelsea Rice discussing an author's life, and there will be all exciting things coming up. Mark and I will be announcing some cool stuff, right, Mark? About in Philly.
Oh, I can't wait in May. Yeah. Philly, we're going to be turning on their rear there. So that's going to be good. For Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, soon to be New York, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, where you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Have a blessed and safe one, and happy Easter. Good night, everybody.